This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونستنصره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إلهاً واحداً أحداً صمداً لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولداً ولم يكن له كفواً أحد وأشهد أن نبينا وعظيمنا محمداً عبد الله ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وحبيبه اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد يقول جل جلاله في محكم التنزيل وقل الحق من ربكم فمن شاء فليؤمن ومن شاء فليكفر إنا أعتدنا للظالمين نارا أحاط بهم سرادقها وإن يستغيثوا يغاثوا بماء كالمهل يشوي الوجوه بئس الشراب وساءت مرتفقا. The series of activism, our path forward, is what I'm going to be continuing with, inshallah, till the end of this month. And as we are at the beginning of the Hijri or lunar year, I am not big on going over incidents that occur every year and just repeating stories, but I do think that the beginning of a year is a time where you are granted, for a good reason or for the lack of a good reason, you're offered an opportunity to revise yourself, to review, to think a little bit about what you've done throughout this year, what you hope to do differently in the new year, in Shahrullah al-Muharram, in this great and sacred month that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the Hijri year start with. We are granted the opportunity to contemplate a little bit of who we are and why we are the way we are and where we're going with our lives. And I think within this series of activism, it's worthy in the midst of it to just slow down for a moment and try and do that together. And the verse I recited for you comes right after the story of the people of the cave, which is what I'm trying to review for you, or I'm trying to talk about activism through it. And after the story of Ahl al-Kahf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he uses this verse. And say the truth from your Lord. Say that the truth is from your Lord. And then you can do whatever you want. فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ. Those of you who have the will, have the intention, may they accept. And may they find that belief. And may they find that certainty. And those who don't, may they not. Those who do not want to believe and don't want to accept, may they not accept. It doesn't matter. This is not, you're not strengthening anything. You are not doing this for the benefit of someone else. Which is what I want to review with you at the beginning of this year. As we talk about activism. Why is it that we do it? Why am I talking about this? Forget about that. Why do we care about anything that's happening to other people? Forget about that. Why is it that we obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why am I standing on this minbar? Why are you sitting in this room? Why does any of this matter? What's the point? What exactly is the reason for people coming in every Friday and sitting and having a person stand up and talk to them and share certain ideas? What's the point of all of that? What is the reason behind it? Why do we do it? Now you can say the answer is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded. I'm asking why to that. Why? Why do we try to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why? Because of the punishment that fades off eventually. Meaning it fades away eventually. It doesn't stick with you forever. You cannot motivate yourself through the fear of punishment for the entirety of your life. It's impossible. The fear is a motivation that is short-lived. It's helpful when it's used appropriately, but it's short-lived. It's not a long-term motivation. It's not a good motive for the rest of your life. Then why do we do this? Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ask us to do these things that please Him? We accept and we understand that they please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but why do we do them? What is the point? What is the purpose? This has to be something that is clear to you. On a subconscious level, not just on the conscious level, you have to internalize these concepts. I'm going to recite for you. I'm just going to use the Quran. The Quran talks about this at least 15, 20 times directly, and the rest of the Quran is talking about it indirectly. He says, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ بَصَائِرُ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَمَنْ أَبْصَرَ فَلِنَفْسِهِ. Indeed, to you has come the sources of insight from your Lord. Those of you who gain insight from them, they do that to benefit themselves. فَلِنَفْسِهِ. You do it for yourself. You do it to benefit yourself. That's why you do anything within our deen. You do it for you. I do it for me. Don't fool yourself as I should not fool mine. Don't fool ourselves and say we do what we do to benefit other people. No, we do it to benefit ourselves. We do this for us. I do this for me. I don't do it for you. I don't. I do it for myself. It's very selfish. It's just that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded. He said the only way to make it, you have to serve others. So I am doing that because I want to help myself. And I ask you, what you do, you must do for yourself. And when you serve others, you do it to help yourself. So that we don't lie to one another. There's no reason for me to act that I am elevating and I'm serving other people for others. No, I'm serving other people for me. Why are you doing it? For others? Stop doing it for others. Do it for yourself. Do it because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded you to do it. And when you do it, you benefit yourself. يا أيها الناس قد جاءكم الحق من ربكم فمن اهتدى فإنما يهتدي لنفسه من اهتدى فإنما يهتدي لنفسه ولا تزر وازرة وزر أخرى ومن اهتدى فإنما يهتدي لنفسه وأن أتلو القرآن فمن اهتدى فإنما يهتدي لنفسه إنا أنزلنا عليك الكتاب للناس بالحق فمن اهتدى فلنفسه. Four times in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the same phrase. Those who gain guidance, they gain guidance for the benefit of themselves. They do it for themselves. It's for you. It's going to help you in this dunya, and it's going to help you in the akhirah. That's why you do it. That's why you do it. ولا تزر وازرة وزر أخرى وإن تدع مثقلة إلى حملها لا يحمل منه شيء ولو كان ذا قربى إنما تنذر الذين يخشون ربهم بالغيب وأقاموا الصلاة ومن تزكى فإنما يتزكى لنفسه. And those of you who seek tazkiyah for themselves, those of you who seek to purify their souls, they seek it and they achieve it for themselves. They do it for the benefit of themselves. فلنفسه. ومن جاهد فإنما يجاهد لنفسه. وإن الله لغني عن العالمين. Those of you who strive, they strive for the benefit of themselves. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of anything or anyone. من عمل صالحا فلنفسه. ومن أساء فعليها. Twice in the Quran. Those of you who do good deeds, they do good deeds for themselves. They do it for themselves. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةَ أَنِشْكُرْ لِلَّهِ وَمَنْ يَشْكُرْ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ. We gave indeed Luqman wisdom. And those of you who are grateful, they are grateful. They show gratitude for themselves. For themselves. وَمَا تُقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ تَجِدُوهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَلِأَنفُسِكُمْ فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ وَاسْمَعُوا وَأَطِيعُوا وَأَنفِقُوا خَيْرًا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ. When you give for yourself. When you take money out of your pocket and you take it out and you give yourself. You're giving yourself. You're not giving anyone else. إِنْ أَحْسَنْتُمْ أَحْسَنْتُمْ لِأَنفُسِكُمْ. When you show excellence in your life, you show excellence for yourself. You need more. This is what the Quran is saying. Time and time again, the Quran will repeat. What you do for yourself. No one owes you for anything that you do. No one owes you. Even when you do something that is selfless. Even when you're doing something for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no one owes you anything. You are doing this for yourself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to reward you time, an amplified amount for what you did, even though what you did not help him, did not offer anything to him. He did not benefit from it in any way, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is giving it to you for free. He is telling you, do something that does not help me and I will reward you for it way more than what you deserve. How is it that I'm going to feel that I deserve anything for anything that I do? How can I feel deserving for anything that I do? It's all for me. You become an activist. You live your life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You do that for yourself, to save yourself, to take care of yourself, to make sure that yawm al-qiyamah, you make it. That's why you do it. There is no other reason. If anyone has told you to do it for another reason, they lied to you. Fix it in your brain. No, you do it for yourself. You give sadaqah, you give it for yourself. You spread knowledge, you spread it for yourself. You help build a community, you build it for yourself. You take care of someone who needs to be taken care of. You're taking care of them for yourself. You do it for yourself. That's why you do it. And when it works the opposite way. It works the opposite way as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the same language in the opposite way. وَمَا يُضِلُّونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ. And they only misguide themselves. وَلَكِنَّ النَّاسَ أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. And people, they only oppress themselves. وَمَنْ يَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ ظَلَمَ نَفْسَهُ. And the person who oversteps the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are oppressing themselves. This theme is one of the most clear in the entirety of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why we talk about these things. The reason I point out to you the importance of living for something beyond yourself is so that you actually serve yourself. When the world around you, when you're living in a world that is focused on the individual, right? When we're living in the West, there's a strong focus on individuality, on the individual, on the happiness of the individual and what the individual wants. I'm not against that. So some people say, no, we have to get rid of the... No, I say strengthen it. I say actually increase the focus on the individual. Because if you truly understand what's best for you and you focus on on the individuality of yourself, then you will figure out that in order for you to make it to Jannah, you have to, in order, which is the most individualistic, most selfish need, most selfish hope and desire is to make it to Jannah. There's nothing that actually trumps that in selfishness. If you are truly individualistic in the way you see the world and you want to take care of yourself only, then you'll realize that this dunya is way too short and whatever is in it is not worth anything, and what you you really want to do is to make sure that Yawm al-Qiyamah you are taken care of. You're in the highest status. You make it there. And if you become interested in that, if that becomes your focus, if you're individualistic enough to want to make sure you make it to Jannah, then you find out that the only way you do that is by following the guidance of Allah. And the guidance of Allah says that you must live in this dunya in the service of other people. That the only way you're going to make it, when he explains this to you, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the only way you're going to make it to my Jannah is if you live your life now in the service of other people. So when you serve other people, you're not serving them because somehow you don't care about yourself. No, no, you care about yourself. And no one told you not to. And Islam is not interested in saying that you should, you know, be selfless. No, no, be selfless in dunya. Be selfless in dunya so that you can make it selflessly to the highest status on the day of judgment, close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why you do it. It's like instead of, for you to achieve the ultimate selfish goal, you have to walk a path of selflessness first. That's how he designed this story, subhanahu wa ta'ala. In order for you to enjoy the fruits that are completely and entirely selfish, that will take care of you and the people that you love the most, you must walk a path in this life that is selfless in nature. But don't kid yourself and don't lose track of why you do what you do. We do it because we want something for ourselves, and that's okay. You and I instinctively don't have the ability not to want things for ourselves selfishly. We don't have the ability. Trying to do that is a waste of time. You and I are designed, are created in a way where we are selfish by nature. There is no way around that. It's impossible to change. It's a part of our instincts. It's a part of who we are. Ruining that, you become lifeless. People who don't want anything for themselves at all are people who walk around who have no ego, who have no understanding of things, and they're not alive, really. People who go through horrible trauma end up like that. If you run into someone who's in shock of trauma, they used to call it shell shock back in the day. Yeah. They'll do whatever you tell them to do, they'll do. They don't know anymore. They've lost the sense of self and they're not really alive. If you're alive and you are thinking and you are wanting, then you are selfish. It's just, are you able to target that selfishness in the right direction? Am I able to take my selfishness and just put it on the day of judgment? Am I able to do that? In dunya, it doesn't matter. What do you want from dunya? Take it. The Prophet ﷺ, this is how he lived his life. He would tell, Ya Fatima bint Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Fatima bint Muhammad, salini min mali ma shi'ti u'tik. Ask me whatever you want from my wealth, I give you. Walakin anqidhi nafsaki min an-nar. But you have to save yourself from the hellfire. You need to focus on what's coming. I can't save you from that. You have to do that. Your selfishness has to be directed in a way that saves you yawm al-qiyamah. Dunya doesn't matter. Dunya comes and goes. It's worthless. It's the fact that, are you going to make it on the Day of Judgment? There's a story on the Day of Uhud. And this is a story, I think, that is worthy of contemplation, where Abdullah ibn Amr ibn Haram, radiallahu anhu, one of the Ansar, one of the great Ansar Sahaba, an old elderly man in his 70s, he had a large family, a lot of daughters, and one son. His son is Jabir ibn Abdullah, the known Sahabi, the narrator of Hadith and the Faqih and the great teacher of Islam that lived many years after the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam passed away. The day of Uhud, Jabir was young. He was in his late teens. And Abdullah was an elderly gentleman, and Jabir was preparing himself to go out for the battle, as it made sense for him to do, as being the son, and the father to stay, he's elderly, stay home with his daughters, and he found his father also dressing up, ready. They can't both go because there would be no mahram left for the sisters that were there left behind. So they start to argue who's going to go, who's going to stay. Jabir's like, that's okay, you can stay, I'll go. And Abdullah said, no, it's all right, you can stay. And after a while, they figured out that they both want to go, and they're both actually standing their ground. So they flipped a coin. They flipped a coin, it turned out for Abdullah. So Jabir is in tears because he's missing out. He's not with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam on the day of Uhud, and Abdullah is getting ready. He would turn to his son and say the following. He would say, Ya Bunay, لو كانت غير الجنة لآثرتك بها. Had it been anything aside from Jannah, I would have given it to you. Had it been anything, had we been arguing over anything aside from Jannah, it's immediately yours. I don't want it. Whatever makes you happier. But it's Jannah, I'm sorry. I have to save myself. It's Jannah. And this is the understanding that they had. This is how they understood things. This is how they saw their lives. They saw that they have to save themselves. And if that means that they need to do whatever they need to do, they'll do it. Whatever it may be. the concept that the Quran is teaching is that whatever you're doing it to save yourself. Do not forget that. It's in your best interest. It is benefiting you in dunya, and it's going to benefit you yawm al-qiyamah. And if you allow any other narrative to actually overcome you, then you don't understand. We can't act like somehow we are selfless for no reason. No, there has to be a reason. There has to be a reward. Some people are selfless and they're looking for a dunya reward. They want the reputation. They want to be seen as morally superior. They want to be seen as elevating over others because they do that. Huh? It's impossible to do things in this life where there's absolutely no reward. Sometimes you do something good and you're hoping for a good feeling in your heart. Your conscience is just annoying. It's an annoying sound. You want to shut it up. So you do it so it stops talking to you. I am telling you, do what you do so that you are saved, yawm al-qiyamah. Just change the intention. At the beginning of the Hijri year, take a moment and review and revise your intention of why you do what you do. Make sure that the reward you're looking for whatever it is that you offer, whatever it is that you do for the sake of Allah, that you do it with the intention that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves you on the Day of Judgment, because it's fali nafsihi and it's fali anfusikum, it's for yourselves. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه يغفر لكم يا فوز المستغفرين استغفر الله. الحمد لله وحده وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على من لا نبي بعده وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اتبع نهجه ووفى عهد إخواني وأخواتي في بداية هذا العام الهجري الجديد أحب أن أذكركم أذكر نفسي معكم بتجديد النيات وإخلاصها لله سبحانه وتعالى ولا يخدعن أحدنا نفسه أو غيره أن ما نقوم به من أعمال صالحة نقوم بها هكذا ذهابا عن النفس ذهابا عن رغباتها وشهواتها في حالة من الإيثار المطلق للآخرين على الذات فإن ما من أحد منا يقوم بعمل إلا ويرجو عاقبة خير منها فبعضنا يرجو هذه العاقبة في الدنيا بالصيت الحسن أو يرجو من الناس أن يتحدثوا عنه بكلام طيب أو يرجو أن يشعر بشعور العطاء في ذاته ولكني أذكر نفسي وإياكم أن تجعلوا النية في العمل الذي تعملونه من أجل الله سبحانه وتعالى نجاتكم يوم القيامة أن تكون النجاة يوم القيامة هي الغاية العظمى التي من أجلها يقوم كل إنسان بعمل من أعماله فإن الله سبحانه وتعالى كرر هذا في القرآن مرارا وما زال ربنا يذكرنا أبصرت لنفسك اهتديت لنفسك تزكيت لنفسك شكرت لنفسك جاهدت لنفسك عملت صالحا لنفسك قدمت خيرا فلنفسك أنفقت فلنفسك أحسنت فلنفسك وما فعلت خلاف ذلك فعل نفسك فالأمر إما أن تنقذ نفسك وإما أن تهلكها وهذا قول حبيبك صلى الله عليه وسلم كل الناس يغدو فبائع نفسه فمعتقها أو موبقها كل إنسان منا يختار ما يفعل بنفسه فلا نخدع بعضنا فلا تخدع نفسك أن ما تقوم به من عمل لما تقول لوجه الله تعالى هذا يعني أنك تؤجل أنك تطلب الأجر على هذا في الآجل لا في العاجل إذا ما قلت عملت هذا لله سبحانه وتعالى فأنت بهذا تقول يا رب أجرني على هذا العمل يوم لا ينفع مهل ولا بنون أما الدنيا فالدنيا لها أحوال يوم لك ويوم عليك لكل شيء إذا ما تم نقصانه وحال الدهر يعني الأيام دول ولا يبقى الدهر على حال لأحد ولا تستقيم هذه الدنيا لواحد منا ومن جهل هذا فقد جهل العلوم كلها وجهل العلم كله ولكنك أن تنجو يوم القيامة ولكنك أن تجد نفسك يوم القيامة في حال النجاة فما عملت من عمل فاعلم أنك ما تقوم به من عمل صالح تعطي من مالك أو من وقتك وتتبرع وتحسن إلى الناس وتعينهم أنت تفعل هذا من أجل نفسك ولا بأس أن يقدم كل منا لنفسه وليس في هذا عيب والنبي صلى الله عليه وصحبه وسلم يا أخواني طمعه كان في الآخرة Do we realize that the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام's ambition was in the hereafter? It wasn't in dunya. In dunya, he didn't care. You couldn't get him angry, alayhi salatu wasalam. They tried. People would try and get him angry. People would try and push his button to see if he had a button to push, to see if you could provoke him, if you could get him upset, if you could get him defensive, if you could say something about him that would make him feel less about himself and then fight back and say something. They couldn't. And there are stories upon stories in our sunnah of people trying to do this to him, alayhi salatu wasalam. Of a man coming up coming up and saying to him bad things, alayhi salatu wasalam, and continuously saying bad things until some of the Sahaba were ready to, yeah, to punish him physically. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam holds them back and tells them, no, what you should do is you should ask them to ask in a nicer way, and you should remind me to be a better person. This is what he would say, alayhi salatu wasalam. And this person would continue to provoke and provoke, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would not respond in a bad way, until finally the man who was provoking says, La ilaha illallah, ashadu annaka Muhammadun, annaka abduhu wa rasuluh, and I bear witness that you are the messenger of Allah. So people ask him, what are you doing? فَقَالَ عِنْدَنَا فِي التَّوْرَاتِ أَنَّهُ كُلَّمَا ازْدَدْتَ إِلَيْهِ إِسَاءَةً ازْدَادَ لَكَ حِلْمًا. We have in our book that the more you offend him, the more you mistreat him, the more patient he becomes with you. Alayhi salatu wasalam. He passed away and he had pawned his shield that he used in war to pull money and give it as a loan to someone. He pawned his shield. When he passed away, alayhi salatu wasalam, he left absolutely nothing. Nothing. There was no inheritance, nothing to divide. Do you understand what that means for a 63-year-old gentleman to pass away and leave nothing? Have you ever seen, do you understand? No one does that. Who does that? Who passes away today and has nothing to leave to people after? Who does it? Unless someone who's wasted all their wealth on something. No one does this. But he did this, alayhi salatu wasalam, because his interest in dunya was nothing, was zero. But then his only request from us, the only thing he requested from us, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, was what? He made one request to his ummah. He asked them for one thing. For himself. Right? He asked us to do a lot of things for ourselves, but he asked us to do one thing for himself, for him. What was it that he asked? He said, when you make dua for me, say, he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a status yawm al-qiyamah called al-maqam al-mahmood. He gives it to one person. I'm hoping to be that one person. Can you make dua for me? So after every idhan, Allahumma, رب هذه الدعوة التامة والصلاة القائمة آت محمد الوسيلة والفضيلة والدرجة العالية الرفيعة وابعثه المقام المحمود وابعثه المقام المحمود. That's all he asked for himself. He asked for something in Akhirah. He was focused on Akhirah because he was doing it for himself. He didn't say, no, I don't want Akhirah. You can take the higher status in Qiyam. That's not, no. That's not right. Do that in dunya. Give the front seat to someone, sure. Give the better seat, give the better. But in Akhirah, he said, ask for me. I want you to make dua for me that I get the highest rank. So don't be selfless around Akhirah. No, it's okay, Sheikh. You can take the higher level. I'll take. No. Why are you doing that? Who told you that's okay? That's not okay. That's not how he lived his life, alayhi salatu wasalam. That's not how we're supposed to think about it. Our focus is on we are trying to achieve the highest ranking in Jannah. We are trying in our lives that we're supposed to be doing. That's why the Prophet alayhi salam told us, إِذَا سَأَلْتُمُ اللَّهَ فَسَلُوهُ الْفِرْدَوْسَ الْأَعْلَى. If you ask Allah, ask Him for الْفِرْدَوْسَ الْأَعْلَى, the highest point. Don't ask, roll me in to the door, just put me aside, I'm okay. No, don't do that. You can say that يوم القيامة when you have nothing left to offer. You can say that يوم القيامة when your deeds aren't being recorded anymore, but right now they're still being recorded. So you can gain insight for yourself. You can give for yourself. You can strive for yourself. You can gain guidance for yourself. You can be grateful for yourself. You can offer your time for yourself, as the Quran said. So you can make it to the highest moment. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam taught us, even though the beginning of the Hijri year does not actually correlate with when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam performed Hijrah, because he performed Hijrah in Rabi al-Awwal, in the month he was born, alayhi salatu wasalam. But since the beginning of the year always reminds us of that, and within this month we have the day of Ashura, that many scholars see it to be sunnah to fast. Within this month, if you take those three concepts, if you take the Hijrah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the fact that he left his country for Islam, the fact that he left his home for Islam to never return to it. They tore down his home during his time in Medina. When he came back for Hajj, there's no home for him. The home that he grew up in, the home that he raised his family in, the home he got to marry to Khadija in, wasn't there anymore. You understand the heartbreak of that? To return and find that they tore down your home, built something else, other people are living in it. Yeah, some people here do. Yeah, some people here do. It's still happening. They're still tearing homes down. Kicking people out, building other homes, people are living in it, and then that person who was just living there last week is not living there anymore. Whether it's last week, last month, last decade, or last century, it makes no difference. It makes no difference. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had to go through that. That is the ultimate, that's ultimate activism. Willing to give your cause everything that you have, even if that means you're going to lose your country, lose your home, never to return. He did that alayhi salatu wasalam. He did the hijrah. He left his home, he left his country, and went and lived in a place where he He didn't belong there. He made it his own, alayhi salatu wasalam, and he made something beautiful, but it wasn't his. A lot of people here did that already. You've done that much. You've relocated for this. Just make sure you continue the path as he did, alayhi salatu wasalam. On the day of Ashura, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Musa, alayhi salam, from Fir'aun. The act of Musa, alayhi salam, was one of the most courageous acts of activism in the history of humankind. We don't understand what Fir'aun was. You sit here and you hear his name, but you don't comprehend what Fir'aun was. Maybe some of you who lived in dictatorships, if you came from places like Syria, for example, or other countries where dictators exist, imagine a dictator. Imagine someone who has no care for human life, who doesn't care about your integrity or who you are whatsoever, who's willing to enslave a complete race of people and call himself God. Imagine a person like that. Musa alayhi salam was asked to go and speak to him. Musa didn't lie. He said, I'm scared. This is scary. Give me Harun. Here's Harun. We're scared. We're both scared now. It's not just Musa. Now we're both scared. How do we go speak to this guy? It's not simple to go and speak to Fir'aun. It's not an easy thing. But he went and he did it. He went and he did it, and that led to a sequence of events that ended with Musa alayhi salam walking through the Red Sea. The day of Ashura is there for us to remember that. It's for us to remember Sayyidina al-Husayn when he stood up and did the same thing and went through similarly what his grandfather went through. And when he saw to be acts of oppression, and he decided that he was not going to accept it on himself, and that it was not representing Islam, it was not representing the legacy of his grandfather, alayhi salatu wasalam, he also spoke out. Within these days, there are memories of people who sacrificed, who gave what they had, who gave everything that they had, only for us to take a step back and remind ourselves that that's what we're required to do as well. We are required to offer that which we have. And remember why you're doing it too. Remember why it is that you offer everything you have. You don't do it for anyone else. Don't do it for your people. Don't do it for your nation. Do it for yourself so that you save yourself. And as you do it for yourself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will teach you something in your heart that you will find out later. When you do it like that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put in your heart something that you will find difficult to articulate and explain. He'll put in your heart a certain degree of love and a certain degree of closeness and clarity that you will carry with you for the rest of your life. But we can't kid ourselves. We are here today. You are in this masjid and I'm in this masjid because we have to be, because I want to save myself. You didn't come to listen to me. You came to make sure that your Jum'ah was going to be accepted so that you can save yourself. Continue to live like that. But prioritize saving yourself. Don't do it in a mediocre manner. If you're going to try and save yourself, really try. Go the full 100 miles. Just go the full extent of the journey. Don't stop halfway. I hope that was of benefit to you. وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَنَا بِأَمْرٍ عَظِيمٍ فَقَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِ مُحَمَّدٍ كَمَا صَلَّيْتَ عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَعَلَى آلِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَبَارِكْ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِ مُحَمَّدٍ كَمَا بَارَكْتَ عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَعَلَى آلِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ فِي الْعَالَمِينَ إِنَّكَ حَمِيدٌ مَجِيدٌ وَارْضَ اللَّهُمَّ عَنِ الْأَرْبَعَةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ السَّادَةِ الْحُنَفَاءِ أَبِي بَكْرٍ وَعُمَرَ وَعُثْمَانَ وَعَلِيٍّ وَارْضَ اللهم عن أزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وعن آله الطيبين الطاهرين وعن صحابته الغر الميامين وعن التابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وعنا معهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات اللهم فرج هموم المهمومين ونفس كروب المكروبين وارفع الغم عن المغمومين وارفع الظلم عن المظلومين واحقن دماءنا ودماء المسلمين اللهم احقن دماء إخواننا المستضعفين في كل مكان احقن دماءهم في غزة والسودان وفي جميع بقاع الأرض يا رب العالمين اللهم رد المسجد الأقصى إلى رحاب المسلمين أخرج الصهاينة من أرض فلسطين اهزمهم وزلزلهم يا رب العالمين وردنا أجمعين إليك ردا جميلا وتب علينا من جميع ذنوبنا توبة نصوحا طهرنا بها قلبا وجسدا وروحا وما ذلك عليك اللهم بعزيز ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون أقم الصلاة.